Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower than low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
Maryland sports fans, there's only one sports book in the great state of Maryland with over 50 years experience booking bets and supporting customers. Betfred Sportsbook at Longshots is now open and is the only sports book in Frederick offering cash betting on football, basketball, world soccer, and more. Visit the Betfred Sportsbook at I-270 and MD-85 in Frederick, right next to Longshots off-track betting. Go to BetfredSports.com for more information and your chance to win exclusive merchandise. Must be 21 or older. Play responsibly. For help, call 1-800-GAMBLER.
Welcome to Cobras and Fire. We are at the Rock and Pods Expo with Kenny Olson today of the, I guess, formerly of the Brown...
Yeah, Twisted Brown Trucker Band.
What I want to do is just kind of start chronologically. And I just, there's not that much information online, like if I'm going to go in Wikipedia, about kind of when you started with Twisted Brown Trucker and Kid Rock. Yeah. And the reason I ask this is... we're both from the Midwest. Okay, Minnesota, yeah. Indiana, Illinois is where I live.
Midwest is best.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. And, you know, rock country. But we, back in the day, were you with him, I guess what I'm saying, before Devil Without a Cause came out?
I started, you know, him and I have known each other since, you know, back when he was, you know, just got his start, you know, and he was doing our Jive records and doing his, he was probably about 18, 17 when I met him. 18, I was like, okay. I'm about a year and a half older than he is. But he went East Coast, I went to the West Coast. You know, I bounced back and forth coast, back to Detroit. And we started playing together in 1995.
Okay. So, hold on, let me think about that. And then, Polyfuse, were you on Polyfuse Method?
No, he didn't. Like, early Morning Stone Pimp was a record he just put out. He did that in 94. And he put out 95, and then we pretty much put together the live band thing. When we first got signed to Atlantic, they were like, you know, everybody's like, what are you guys?
So
you're,
right.
You know?
Yeah, no, and the reason I'm asking that whole before Devil Without a Cause is because of the fact that I went to Purdue.
Yeah.
And there was this one night, and I just want to confirm that this makes sense, that... There was one party I was going to go to. It was in the basement of the fraternity.
Yeah, we played. Yeah, I played.
Because I went there the next day.
The fraternity brothers gave up their bedrooms and everything. I woke up the next day.
Or did you used to do a lot of parties? Like
we did a few. You know, we did quite a few. But that one I remember. That was
Lafayette, Indiana.
Yeah, after we all stayed up all night long. You know, just eating potato chips and watching 700 Club. No, I'm just kidding. I mean, I remember waking up like, where am I? And I'm like, right, I'm at a frat party in Purdue.
Yeah. And the next day, though, the guy said that this is the guy that played. He's from Detroit. He's called Kid Rock.
Yeah, we did. I was there.
The original, you know, the Stone Cold. Yeah. I always forget that one. But
early Morning Stone Pimp, yeah.
And I was like, this guy's in a wife beater? And you're telling me he's raps? He's got a full band? I'm like, what the hell?
Yeah, that was back. That was, I remember that show. I mean, that's the...
Can you believe you even remember
this? Out of, like, thousands and thousands and thousands of shows that I did with him.
It was the chips in the 700 Club that locked it in for you.
I mean, those early years are a little easier for me to remember. I mean,
Sure.
But I mean, that's been pretty much, like, Devil Without a Cause. It's, we pretty much started writing and doing all that stuff at the end of 95, 96, recorded at 97. A lot of that record, the beautiful part about it was our approach was we just would go in there. I'd come up with a guitar riff or whatever, and we just kind of created the stuff on the spot.
Yep.
And that, I mean, like, got all the beautiful, I like calling them beautiful mistakes, unlike how they do a lot of stuff nowadays where it's like a polished turd, you know?
Yeah.
Where, like, that was, we just didn't really, we didn't give it, you know, I don't know if I can swear, but we didn't really give a shit about as far as, you know, we had a style of our own, and we just kind of weren't afraid to try different kinds of music, and we, and even, you know, a lot of records, I mean, because I also, you know, produce, and I've been able to work with a lot of great producers through the years,
right.
And like Eddie Kramer and these guys, like, you know, that, you know, and I was always a big fan of, like, how, like, bands like Zeppelin or Hendrix, they always used different amps and all kinds of stuff for every song, so a record wouldn't sound like, you know, like a typical record where...
We talk about that a lot, actually.
Yeah, they come in with their one same guitar rig, and it's like, you know, like when I produce records now, a guitar player like, yeah, Kenny, this is my rig, and I'm like, I'll be good for one or two songs, and they look at me like...
Were you here for the producer panel by chance? They had Michael Wagner there.
Yeah, yeah.
Okay.
Well,
same thing, like
Toby Wright. Toby's the 7 Day Binge project. I was telling you about Toby's work on that record.
Oh, really?
Yeah, he's actually mixing a single that we're going to be putting out. So.
Nice.
And Toby and I have been friends for many years and worked on. Toby did a worked on me with the Kenny Olson Cartel record.
Okay.
Where we did over House of Blues. So Toby, all the stuff that we record over there, Toby did with me. He's a great guy, and obviously his resume is quite impressive. But
we got like the double thought cause for that album. It's still a headphone album for me because you can hear all these. It's like it's the reason it stands up for me is the fact that it doesn't sound like a guitar was just laid here.
Yeah.
It's just.
I used.
Says like, oh, I don't like it's rap rock. Like, no, it is much more.
It was more. You know, like Jimmy and I, the keyboard player. We came from that old school. I mean, we all had a common thing that thread that we all liked, but you know, it was as long as it was kept the rock element, but kept that groove and having said that funky behind the beat element to it, we were able to kind of just be fearless as far as where we went with it. I mean, even like songs like Only God Knows Why, you know, where it's like a lot of that stuff, like those are all first takes. Like I didn't even. I didn't record that. There wasn't even a lot of stuff on Devil wasn't even done on Pro Tools or anything like that. It was all on tape. With the simplicity of a lot of those songs that we did with Kid Rock, there was a lot of it left a lot of room for some different voicings to always be going on there to keep it guitar bass driven, but had to like fill in the gaps to make it not such a take it, simplify, but then kind of twist it all back around again. So, you know, there's always a method to the madness, I guess. But I like to try to do stuff where I don't remember, even like with a clear head, if I remembered what I did when I did it, then I know I didn't do it well. I'd rather like not know what I did and then listen back to it and go, I did that? That's cool.
Do you ever record something in maybe a certain state of mind, and then like the next morning you're like, I am not listening to that for a few weeks, and you go back and listen to it, and it's like great.
Yep. Okay. Yeah.
So like on the first couple albums, because you were there until the Kid Rock self-titled, right?
Yeah, right up till after self-titled was our History Rock was like basically a bunch of old stuff Reese put out, so we physically recorded Devil, then some of the stuff that wasn't on Devil was carried over to Cocky, but we basically, when we did Cocky, we recorded a lot of songs.
Yeah.
There's a lot of stuff that's never been put out that we wrote.
I'm surprised he hasn't put it out.
And then we did, plus even when Sheryl Crow was there, I mean, Sheryl and I, we did probably four songs besides Picture when she was there.
Did you record both Picture and the other one that was on the next album at the same time?
Yeah. Going off to L.A.?
Yeah.
It's a classic line, baby, I just want to be friends. But baby, my friends don't have keys to my Mercedes Benz, no. I think I know what you mean, you want to talk and such. Tell me all your problems, but we don't fuck, ain't that right? I had plenty of friends before I met you, I don't need no more. So now I think it's time you started heading out for the door. And even though I feel real bad tonight, please pack your shit and take
And then we did it, the self-titled was really the third studio album, you know. Because, I mean, like I said, and then we had the live album.
And that's what we just did, like a preview for this podcast, and it's the beginning of Rock and Roll Pain Train, but actually name checking.
Yeah.
Like they were starting off, and like, Kenny Olson.
Yeah, and that was pretty much when the live album came out, that was when it was about to come out. That's kind of when, you know, I decided that it was time to, you know, leave the band, and so I quit around that time period. But you know, some pretty amazing things, and we never thought in a million years recording Devil Without a Cause it was gonna
10 million or whatever. It was.
It's like I think we're 12. It's tied with Sgt. Pepper's.
It was a slow grower too, right?
Yeah. It took like a year to hit.
And next year is the 20-year anniversary of it, so. Wow. You know, there's no telling with.
Thanks, Kenny. I feel old as fuck now.
Exactly.
It's 20. I don't
no,
tell
man.
Me.
It was.
I'm tired of all these anniversaries of records I love. It's like, yeah.
So on the.
You remember jerking off to this album? Sorry. Yeah, it's 25 years ago.
That's right. Devil without a cause. I'm going platinum. The writing, is it just like it's just Twisted Brown Trucker, right? Like,
yeah,
like I don't remember seeing the credits showing each person individually.
Yeah, the Twisted Brown,
you're part of a lot of that writing process.
Yeah, yeah, there was a lot of like the credits on the first record are yeah, because they just have us all, it's like a band thing, but you know, it was a lot of put a lot of heart and soul and all that stuff, you know, through the years. And it was pretty pretty amazing what we accomplished in that time period. And
we'll talk about your new projects in just a moment. What I was just gonna say is I've seen, you just saw him live just recently, but the whole experience I had, I probably saw when you were in the band 7 times, because you guys played so many fests, and every time I would go there, it was always a great experience. Yeah. Like when you guys opened for Metallica, I'll just tell you, I don't know if Metallica was tired of you guys after like destroying them.
Yeah, we had quite a show, you know, and
it's a great show.
I mean, things just kind of change, you know, and it's not, you know, I can't get too much into the personal end of things,
sure.
You know, it's, but, you know, life is kind of crazy in the music industry, and
most
the people that come
everybody
in involved, you know, it's, yeah. And you know, it's, but I made my decision, and you know,
sure.
Probably not the greatest time with the music industry going upside down, and all the confusion of the downloads, and everybody having zeros taken off their royalty checks, you know.
Oh yeah, but I can tell you this much: I have, and this is just a personal opinion, haven't enjoyed anything really since that
right
zone, as far as the musical outfit.
Yeah, I mean we had you know, him and I all of us as a band, but we did some pretty amazing things together, you know, through those years, and
yep.
You know, I'll always you know, look back at that era and be like, you know, it's just, I mean, I don't think that's one of the things that him and I, you know, have as far as people wouldn't even believe half the shit that we saw or,
sure.
Or accomplished together or did, whatever.
Woodstock and all that stuff.
It's just it became such a blur, you know. It was like, I mean, it got to the point to where if a unicorn walked on my tour bus, I'd be like, hey, what are you doing?
Yeah.
Yeah, like, it wouldn't have fazed me at all.
Why don't you kind of like recap what's going on right now?
Well, right now I got quite a few different things going on. You know, I'm and I'm actually in the midst of too. I've got a my own album that I've been I'm always doing my own stuff because I can do that on my own schedule, and and I got a lot of amazing, legendary, and new, and some even just talented people in general that I've found, but I've, I've been blessed to, work with me on that. And something along the lines, too, I've also got a couple different all-star things going with some other members of some other big bands that will be announced of those projects. I'm doing a documentary as well. And I started doing this years ago when I was taking, like, when I was out, we started doing those Experience Hendrix tours. And guys like, Hubert Sumlin and Buddy Miles and Mitch Mitchell and all those people out on the road. And just in general, like legendary artists that I've met through the years have all been like, Kenny, you need to do a record, with a bunch of the, the guys, kind of like what Carlos did with the younger people, but with a lot of gear. But also bring in some younger talent as far as, to kind of give it a little bit of, flavor to it.
Well, so, if there is one or two tracks of your solo material or projects you've been in that somebody wants to take a sampling, what would you recommend for us to, like, play on the show?
Well, a little taste.
I'm gonna get your guys' email and send you guys over some stuff.
Right on.
Great, nice.
Some sneak previews of some stuff.
All right.
And obviously, I like the, like the 7/8 Binge stuff. I think people, as we've been resurrecting that, a lot of people, I think, will really gravitate to that. And there's even a self-titled song called 7/8 Binge. You know, off my Cartel album, there's some cool stuff on there, too. Being here in Nashville, a lot of times you get... And I play in a lot of people's records as well and do a lot of features and produce and stuff. And you get sidetracked here making other people rich instead of yourself.
Gotcha.
But it's good. It's an honor to be asked to do play with people that you like, that you respect as artists. And, it's fortunate I can do them, but the thing that's unfortunate is no one's ever hardly in the same room anymore. So, and it's like I've had sessions like I did at... for example, like Faith Evans and Kelly Price had me do a song, "Troubled World" single, and it was like, someone was asking me an interview. What was it like being in the studio with them? And I was like, and I thought about it. And the first thing that came out of my mouth, I was like, it was like phone sex with condoms on, because we weren't in the same room.
You want to get them a sock?
You want a jerk sock?
Yep.
We'll sign it for you.
Oh, the growl towel.
Yeah, the growl towel.
I love it. That's the quote.
This is the puppet. We'll sign it for you. That's the puppet for Bunk Puppet Theater.
Yes, here we go.
That's a recurring joke on our show.
So when you catch
someone snapping one off in their bunk, you go, "Are you excuse me, but are you playing? Are you performing
snapping
bunk,
one off.
Bunk Puppet Theater?"
The opposite of the Mile High Club, all right?
And also, you got complimentary face fans.
I want both. I want one of each.
Excellent. Perfect. Who knew it? Trust me, today, doesn't matter who you talk to, you're not going to jerk sock and face fans.
No.
Right on. That is awesome.
Jerk sock made it worth it, right?
That's what I'm saying.
Someone needs to come out with like...
What did you call it again?
The growl towel.
Love it.
Why hasn't anybody come up with a special, take like a little play off of Jergens, but just Jerkins. just a lotion just for jerking off.
Jerkins. You can sell it with jerk socks.
And then they go to like, Walgreens in this little sample section and CVS. We might have the travel size.
I think we uncovered a topic people are far more comfortable talking about than we thought.
I know.
Everybody wants to bring it up.
What I said was like at a podcast convention, this is our audience.
Yeah, trust me.
Well, I'll tell you what, if you haven't titled the album yet, let's do a self title. Let's just say you can throw that in there.
Growl towel.
Yeah, perfect. That's much better.
Kenny Olson's new.
Thank you.
On that note, as we went off topic.
Oh, we love it. Are you kidding? That's our whole bit.
It's off topic.
It's all tangents.
That's the way to do it. Life's too short.
Far more interesting.
We're gonna start with this for the rest of the interview. This is an icebreaker. That was great.
Yeah.
Thank you.
My pleasure.
Sports fans, there's only one sports book in the great state of Maryland with over 50 years experience booking bets and supporting customers. Betfred Sportsbook at Long Shots is now open and is the only sports book in Frederick offering cash betting on football, basketball, world soccer, and more. Visit the Betfred Sportsbook at I-270 and MD-85 in Frederick, right next to Long Shots off-track betting. Go to BetfredSports.com for more information and your chance to win exclusive merchandise. Must be 21 or older. Play responsibly. For help, call 1-800-GAMBLER.